I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. The Black Reps production of Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun opens next week. Director Ed Smith and cast member Andrea Fry will join us later in the program. And in our soundbite segment, St. Louis bartender Joel Clark. He'll share his journey in a world void of taste and smell, and he'll talk about the difficulties of continuing in his profession and how he compensates. We begin with a filmmaker whose documentary, Through a Lens Darkly, Black Photographers and the Emergence of a People, screens tomorrow as part of the St. Louis International Film Festival. Thomas Allen Harris, welcome to Cityscape.
Thanks, Steve. Great. Glad to be here.
And also joining us, the Executive Director of Cinema St. Louis, Cliff Freilich. Hi, Cliff. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Thomas, there's a related project of yours that's going to air Sunday on the Nine Network, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but Through a Lens Darkly has screened at festivals all over the country and beyond, I think, including Sundance earlier this year. Would you call it a history lesson?
In some ways, it is a history lesson, although it's a kind of different take on history because we have a lot of contemporary artists in the film, leading American contemporary artists who use history in their as inspiration for their work. And in many ways, as they do this, they reshape the way in which we view history.
Well, I haven't seen the film, of course, but I would think it would be a history lesson to me, Cliff.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to obviously teach you, anyone who sees the film, many things. But I think it's an important lesson for everyone, to a black, white, whomever, I think can learn some really valuable lessons about how we sort of put people in boxes from the point of view of how we view people, and then how photography can help shape what we think about those people. And so it's more than just history. It deals with a whole range of issues with regard to how we stereotype and then subsequently treat people.
Right. And I think if you were a person that maybe never knew a black person and all you knew of black people were what you might see in old photographs, you would say, Thomas, that's not a very clear vision.
Well, you know, a lot of the photographs that we have are the photographic history doesn't include generally African American photographers. Mm-hmm. And if we're not looking at African American photographers, then we're also not looking and seeing the evolution of African American families and how they've evolved over the course of the last 170 years. Photography started 20 years before slavery ended. So you have this huge free community that was photographing itself or getting itself photographed. And also photography was used at that time by both abolitionists to combat this institution of slavery and by the planters to affirm a certain stereotype of the African Americans that would give rise to their servitude, or that would legitimize their servitude. And the film actually has its origins in a book by the MacArthur Award-winning, Genius Award-winning scholar and artist Deborah Willis. And her book is Reflections in Black Photographers from 1840 to the present. And she approached me 10 years ago about turning the book into a film, and that's how we got started.
You have said that these images have been suppressed, is your word, suppressed, forgotten, and lost. Now, forgotten and lost, I understand. I'm interested in how they were suppressed.
Yeah, well, I think they were suppressed. One of the reasons that Deb started her research and wrote this book was because there were two major books of photography produced in 1930 and then in the 1970s. Neither one of them had a single African American photographer included. So not even Gordon Parks, who was a life photographer. And so when we talk about the landscape of American photography, we're missing this huge swath of photographers. And these were award-winning photographers, art photographers. James Vanderzee, who documented the Great Migration in New York. There were hundreds of African-American photographers. So by not including them in the history books, we've actually dismiss them. Their archives then fall into ruin in some ways because they're not considered valuable. And so I think a lot of it happened because of this issue of Jim Crow, and that they were not seen. They were not considered valuable. They also went up against the stereotype, which was the pervasive images that we come to know about African Americans, whether that stereotype is from the FSA of, you know, the sharecroppers, you know, hunched over, as opposed to images they might have gone and taken of themselves in their Sunday finest, you know, affirming mm-hmm. their humanity. And it is a question of humanity. What, you know, people, photographs of people as family members, as valuable contributors to society, all of these things go butt up against the images of, you know, the, maybe the blackface images or the images of the mammy, which is discussed in the newspaper recently. I saw there's a new book out, the Book of Ruth. And so I think that African Americans were collecting images of themselves, and these images were shown in the black press. They were shown in the privacy of people's homes in terms of on their walls, but they never made it into the mainstream.
Right. I think one of your points is the things that did make it into the mainstream. I think, for example, in your film, you have montages of ads we would find offensive today and stage shots that were intended to be humorous, but we probably wouldn't laugh now, right? Because we didn't see, in the days gone by, we didn't see the pictures in African Americans' homes or in their scrapbooks. We saw the ones I just mentioned.
Yeah. So the film actually the premise of the film is what images are missing from the National Family Album. And if you look at it in that way, from that perspective, you see that there's a war of images. Like the image of the African American family cannot stand in the same place as the image of the stereotype. And so we have this issue of representation. And of course, there are two types of representation. There's one person, one vote. We understand that that has a value. But there's also this issue of representation within popular culture. If you're represented as being human, then if you're treated inhumanely, then that's a crime. If you're represented as being something other than human, even subtly, you know, like what happened to the Jews in the midst of the Holocaust in Nazi Germany, or what happened with the Tutsis with the Hutu and Tutsis in Rwanda, that genocide. You know, right before, you know, to allow for second class citizenship to happen, you have to in some ways denigrate their representation within popular culture. So they're referred to as cockroaches or animals or, you know, brutes. And so so you see this actually in the images. And the war of images is something that's very real. I think it's something which is a touchstone for a lot of African Americans.
That's Thomas Allen Harris. He's directed the film Through a Lens Darkly, Black Photographers and the Emergence of a People, which is screening as part of the St. Louis International Film Festival tomorrow evening at Washington University. Cliff, what's your take on the film? And isn't this part – don't you have a series within the film festival of which this is part of?
That's correct. We're doing a stream of programming called Race in America, The Black Experience. We were going to be including Through a Lens Darkly no matter what. We had actually been in touch with Thomas for more than a year before the film actually premiered in Sundance, because I knew it would be a film that we'd be interested in and we'd like to play. But because of the Ferguson situation, we thought that it was really important to focus on the experience the blacks have both here in St. Louis but more widely in the U.S. and even beyond. And so we have about a dozen films that are part of that series, about three-quarters of which are free, including Thomas's film Tomorrow at Wash U. That is a free screening. And then, of course, the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion Roadshow, which will be taking place at 9 Network on Sunday at 3.
Right. So, Thomas, am I understanding this correctly? It's old photographs and more recent ones, too. You said there are some very well-known African-American photographers involved. So maybe would you identify a couple of them? And what do they have to say about their craft?
Yeah, well, the contemporary photographers that included in the film include Carrie Mae Weems, who has a touring show up. She had a huge retrospective at the Guggenheim Museum. There's Lorna Simpson, who has an upcoming show, I believe. I'm not sure where it's at, but it's been touring across the country, and it started off in Paris. There's Glenn Ligon, who is a contemporary artist. There's my brother, Lyle Ashton Harris, who's a well-known contemporary artist as well. And, you know, I think that what they talk about is the ways in which they use history as fodder for their creativity. And so we use that in interesting ways in the film, in the sense that we don't wait to the end of the film to show contemporary artists. We actually insert them into this historical narrative. So in some ways, the film is kind of like nonlinear. I'm an artist as well, and I come from a background of experimental film, avant-garde film. And in fact, the film in Europe, this film, Through a Lens Darkly, is playing around Europe in avant-garde film festivals. And so I'm also a character in the film because I come from a family of photographers. So I go back and it's not just, you know, looking at this from this kind of outside perspective, but it's looking at the way in which my family negotiated this treacherous kind of war within the war of representation, war of images.
Referring to that, I read a review of your film in Variety a couple of months ago, and the reviewer said that this film is a reminder of how images of African Americans have been stereotyped and demonized by popular media. Demonized sounds so intentful.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you look at some of these images, there, you know, we have a section in the film that talks about lynching. And, you know, the lynching images were circulated widely, you know, and they weren't covered up in the mail. Mm-hmm. And you know, they were written to family members. And it's, you know, I think when you look at it, you know, when you have an image of your family member with a lynched person, you think, well, you know, was that person, you know, I mean, to affirm the humanity of your family member, you have to automatically think that that person was somehow a criminal, you know, as opposed to someone who was caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, like, you know, Andrew Goodman or, you know, or Chaney. And then there were also the blackface images, you know, and the kind of affirmation of African Americans as kind of brutes or a kind of, you know, something other than, you know, men.
But there's no humanity there. It's not the picture of your lovely grandmother, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cliff, your reaction to the film, is it shocking? Is it heartwarming? Both?
Well, obviously it gives hope in the sense that you do see in the film representation that is as the African-American photographers would like you to see the blacks represented as opposed to what white culture had sort of imposed on it. So from that point of view, it's hopeful, obviously. But by the same token, it's appalling at what did take place and what circulated widely and was embraced by white culture and of necessity because they didn't see it in themselves represented in any sort of positive way by blacks as well.
All right. Through a Lens Darkly is going to screen 7:30 tomorrow evening at Washington University's Brown Hall Auditorium. Let's, in the few minutes remaining, talk about another project that came out of this, the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion Roadshow. And if you've seen Antiques Roadshow, you sort of get the idea. I think it's so fascinating. Explain it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been making films about my family that use my family archive for about 23 years. And wherever I go, whether it's Korea or Turkey or Haiti or all over Europe, people would say to me, I have these amazing family photographs. I'd like to do something creative with them rather than have them lie in boxes. And so when we started making this film, I thought, I'm going to create something that we can be in production with in tandem with the film. So because normally at the end of the film, you're tired and it's hard to create something new. So we created the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. And initially it was going to be exclusively online, but then people wanted us to actually perform it.
So it's like let me just jump in if I may. So it's like the Antiques Roadshow in the sense that African Americans will assemble like that and bring photographs or mementos of their family and share it with the viewers and explain it. Talk about it.
Exactly. And it's not only African Americans. It's called Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. Uh-huh. So we have Jewish diasporas who are participating in the film. We have the Asian and Latino diasporas. And so but we make sure that African Americans are included as well. So it really gives us a way of understanding ourselves by looking at the family photographs. And we blow them up to the size of cinema. And we have music and we have a kind of a VJ who actually prompts people to tell tell stories by manipulating their family photographs on the screen.
I think it's a great idea. I think it would be great if you did that in St. Louis.
We're actually going to be doing it on Sunday at 3 p.m. So we're doing it at the nine networks, and I think they have over 200 seats. And so everyone is welcome to come, and we want to see St. Louis show itself to itself.
All right, let's go over the details here. St. Louis International Film Festival presents Digital Diaspora Family Reunion Roadshow. That's Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Nine Network in Grand Center. And the other is the film Through a Lens Darkly, Black Photographers and the Emergence of a People, tomorrow, 7:30 at Washington University. If you'd like more information on both these, please go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link for more information. We want to thank Cliff Frelick, Executive Director of Cinema St. Louis, and Director Thomas Allen Harris. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Steve.